Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of Acts today, and we have a great chapter in store for us. So, without further ado, let's read Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Amen. So when we read about Saul, persecutor of the church and fierce opponent of the gospel, it's hard to fathom that Saul is also Paul, apostle of the church and a fierce defender of the gospel. In fact, we all know that Paul is one of the most influential figures in the early church, with a significant portion of the New Testament being attributed to him. He was responsible for the planting and nurturing of key churches in the ancient Near East, and he brought the good news of Jesus Christ to many who went on to foster the booming movement of followers of the way. And in today's passage, we see exactly how Saul the persecutor starts to become Paul the apostle. And by the way, a common misconception is that the Saul to Paul change in name is like Abraham to Abraham, or Sarai to Sarah, or Jacob to Israel, where God gives them a new name as a way to symbolize new identity. This isn't exactly the case with Saul, who once saved began going by his Roman name Paul in order to be a bridge to the Gentile world. You'll start seeing him referred to as Paul in future weeks. His Hebrew name remains Saul, but this shift in name we see throughout the Acts narrative shows when Saul slash Paul took on this mission to reach the ends of the earth. Anyway, we see that Saul, in a moment, goes from traveling to Damascus in order to arrest the Christians there, to being baptized and joining the very Christians in Damascus he sought to persecute. And how is this possible? Well, it's through a life-changing encounter with Jesus. Saul experiences this supernatural moment where he hears the voice of Jesus. He sees this bright light and he becomes blind. He's brought to the house of Judas on a street called Straight, and the Lord brings to him Ananias, who heals Saul and restores his sight in the name of Jesus. And just like that, Paul's whole world, his whole understanding of who he is and who God is completely changed. And this moment, where he lays down his old life and for the first time he picks up his cross to follow Jesus, is what begins the journey that brings Paul to one day declare to the church in Philippi, "I count everything in my old life as loss because I found the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." You know, this Sunday we talked about being kingdom workers who were transformed by Christ. And in today's passage, we see perhaps the greatest example of a life transformed by Christ. Paul is a testimony that God wants to use even the most broken and hard-hearted to usher in his kingdom. Paul preached the gospel for the rest of his life to all, always remembering that there isn't a single person who's too far gone to receive Christ and be transformed by him. And Paul would say to those of us who might still doubt that the grace of Jesus we've accepted can actually change us, can actually transform us, he would say, "Look at me. He transformed me. He can transform you too." Brothers and sisters, if we are followers of Jesus, then we've been given a grace that transforms us to the utmost. It's a grace that says you can be everything that God desires for you to be. You can do everything that God desires for you to do, because there's nothing holding you back anymore. Jesus has transformed you. And so will you live your life today in light of that? Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you give us a clear understanding of just how transformative our relationship with you can be. Jesus, we seek more and more of you in our life because we know that you're the only way that we can live our life in abundance. We can live life for the kingdom. We can live a knowing God kind of life. And so, Lord, would you help us? Would you remind us time and time again today of this grace that courses through us, that changes us, that transforms us? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.